Nathan's girl, Vic Carucci, back with you here on Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Force.
You can hear it on
ClevelandBrowns.com. So if you are listening via the internet, we are on ClevelandBrowns.com. And folks, want to remind you that the Cleveland Browns proudly support the United Way of Greater Cleveland as they mobilize our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at UnitedWayCleveland.org. We got some phone calls coming in, 216-578-0850. Also, we have some Mailbag Wednesday tweets for you. So we'll bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, now to give us the latest. Where are we going to go, phones or the tweets?
We'll start out with some tweets, guys. And this is one I'm actually very interested. We should ask Billy before he left. Dennis on Twitter, he tweets, @Browns_daily, #mailbag. Does kicker Billy Cundiff practice any other positions besides just kicking, maybe punting, possibly some passing?
I know he does a little bit on the punting end because of, you know, possible situations that can occur if an injury were to happen to Spencer Landing. And same with Spence. They don't do a lot of it, but I've talked with Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator, about this. And the fact of the matter is both kickers have to be conversant with each job in case of emergency because they don't carry
right.
Carry
you never
extra
know.
Kickers
right, around. Right. And listen, we saw the lineman, Garrett Gilkey, certainly fancies himself as a field goal kicker in the event of an emergency for the Browns if it got to that point.
He fancies himself. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's good. I think that, listen, any of these guys, you know, you see some of that out there. You see some of them messing around from time to time. Yeah. They're a three-man posse, so they'll do whatever they have to do to help each other out in case anything gets a little bit crazy here with the Browns.
Rick goes to the defensive side of the ball. He asks, guys, with Jabal Sheer not being a starter right now, and he is a Heckert draftee, could he potentially be a trade piece?
I don't think so. Well, listen, anybody, I guess, is, but trades just don't happen in the National Football League all that often, and he's entering his contract here. Listen, Mike Penn also said that he is going to be getting more time with the ones. I don't look at it as him not starting. There is going to be a rotation on the defensive end, a defensive side of the ball. I think he's going to play a ton. Mingo will play a lot. Kruger will play a lot, too. This is his opportunity to make serious plays and get paid. So I think you're going to see the best of Jabal Sheard this season. So I don't think he's getting traded at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't see that either. To your point about trades, they don't happen in this league because of a couple of big things. Free agency, most of the veteran players you want to acquire that you think you'll get value for, you feel better as a team doing so in free agency because of the opportunity to now, to some degree, players who are available there, you always check the background. If you are available, that means another team is giving up on you or giving up the chance to keep you for some reason, possibly. But generally speaking, teams feel there are fewer flaws in that market than in the trade market where somebody is literally trying to unload somebody at times that they don't think is going to help another team. And you saw the last big trade that happened. I mean, a first-round exchange for Trent Richardson last year. And where has that gone for the Colts? Not very far. And, you know, they hope this will be a big year for them. It's got to be, or else right now that investment looks like a bad one to have given the Browns a first-rounder for that, as an example. So the trades don't happen frequently. And I don't attach the whole he was a Tom Heckert guy to the draft, to the thinking of this regime. Joe Hayden also came about, you know, this team in under a different regime in 2010, and he gets a contract extension. Why? Because he's a great player, and they recognize talent. I think Sheard has value. Could someone from the front seven be a trade piece because of their value? Yes, it's entirely possible. I wouldn't rule it out, and certainly the way Ray Farmer, Trader Ray, operates, look at him from the draft. Look at the moves he's made, not trade-wise, but acquiring a lot of people since camp has begun for the reserve roles of this roster. Nathan, I wouldn't rule anything out.
You never rule anything out at all. But, you know, those types of things are not as easy to come by in the National Football League as they are in other sports, perhaps, because you have contract issues, right. You have to fit things into the salary cap, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, I'll hold my breath here. People are really jumping on the rumor. If there is even a rumor, people are jumping on the thought of the rumor that there's going to be a trade for Andre Johnson here. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. I don't know. I would be very, very surprised. But, again, it would make football sense, totally. The team has the money to do it. The team could afford Andre Johnson. Right now, the Cleveland Browns are significantly under the salary cap for the 2014 season. So, logistically, they could absorb Andre Johnson's $10 million contract. Do they want to? That I'm not sure. But so we'll just have to see how it all plays out here, ultimately, because you know, you're looking at a Cleveland Browns team that right now is significantly below that level. So they could do it. It's financially feasible. Is that a kind of investment, though, ultimately, that they do want to make there? $21 million under the cap right now, according to overthecap.com.
What else have we got, Matt?
All right, this one comes from James. He asks, has Johnny Manziel ever really seen or played in snow and ice? He talks about Junior Seau. He didn't see any snow or ice until he got to the pros. And how do you see that affecting him as a player?
I think he was asked about this the other day. I don't think he has seen much snow or ice. He talked about a cold condition. I want to say he mentioned Arkansas might have been the place. And I think the furthest north he's played is Missouri. Yeah. But I think he said worst conditions.
Were there.
I think he mentioned Arkansas. So, I think the short answer is he probably hasn't. I think that's going to be true, though, for a lot of quarterbacks who end up coming from the south or southwest or whatever and playing in a northeastern climate. How does it work? I mean, Brian Sipe, it worked out kind of well for him, as I recall it, a guy who came from California, right, to the Cleveland Browns. So,
sure.
I mean, I think it's possible, it's doable. It's not the perfect condition or setup, but you have to overcome that in the NFL, and you have to learn how to deal with that. And I think part of being a Cleveland Brown or part of being a Buffalo Bill or part of being a New England Patriot and, you know, playing in this region, Philly, you're going to deal with climate.
Will. It's a matter of fact. And you heard Billy kind of talk about the difference in it as well, what the impact of that is on your kicking game, on your kickoffs, on your field goals, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, guys, this one comes from Matt. He asks about Armonte Bryant. He says, do you see Armonte cracking the starting lineup at all this year if he keeps showing that he's the most efficient pass rusher?
Listen, my bold prediction is that Armonte Bryant will lead this team in sacks. That is a bold prediction that I'm going to go on record with there. And I don't know that it matters if he's a starter or if he's not a starter. I think that he's going to play in all pass rushing situations, and I think that his ability and his improvement against the run means he's going to be out there. But you're going to see a rotation. Don't forget, this is a defensive line that's got Ataba Rubin, Phil Taylor, Billy Wynn, Dez Bryant, John Hughes, Armonte Bryant. You're going to see these guys shuffling in and out. I think there are seven, Shamele Kitchen, Calvin Barnett, the undrafted, maybe seven, eight guys who might make this team on the D-line, and I think they're all going to get some minutes. Obviously, the top six, I would say, maybe in a different league, but you're going to see a lot of these guys rotating in and playing a lot, even if you're not technically, quote-unquote, a starter, because what this defense does, and we've seen it and we've heard players talk about it, is provide a lot of opportunities for specialization. We've seen some formations that have one real defensive lineman. For example, Armonte Bryant in a pass rush situation where you have Bryant and then you have Mingo, Sheard, and Kruger with him, four guys literally out there just to get to the quarterback. So there's a lot of specialization. I wouldn't get as hung up as it relates to this defensive line on starter, non-starter. I think it's going to ultimately come down to a lot of guys all playing a lot of minutes.
I think you're going to see certainly a lot of Armonte Bryant because he's earned that playing time. And as you stated, a lot of it could still be situational, and yet he would have what amounts to a very significant role, maybe even more production than a starter would have numbers-wise because of the type of role he has. I think as far as him being a starter, I don't think he's quite there yet, but I think he's really close. Where he has to close the gap, and from my understanding, talking with the coaches, he's done a good job of showing this coaching staff that he can play the run, that he's more of a run, better run player than he was as a rookie last year. He's got kind of a unique build. He's a very narrowly built guy. It helps him as a pass rusher. He can get sort of thin, if you will,
and knife
his way through because of the way he's built. There's less for O-lineman to kind of grab onto as he's making his way through, and he's got that quickness, so his frame helps him there. Where it might work against him is against the run, how stout he can be against the run. And again, that's technique. That's getting your pad level lower than the other guy that's trying to get that leverage, all those things that you need to do against blockers and shed and get to the ball. He's improved, as I understand it, in many ways. We see it on the field, the plays that he's able to make or the position he's able to put himself to make plays when they're not tackling to the ground in practice. So the complete guy is the guy who would start. I think right now this team sees in Desmond Bryant and Billy Wynn at the end positions the two more complete players, right, to put there. And I think, you know, in a case of an Armonte Bryant, I think there's a lot that he's done to make a strong impression on this coaching staff, but I think there's still some ways to go as a complete D lineman. That's when he becomes a starter.
And that's when he becomes a starter. And listen, this is only a second-year player. This was a seventh-round draft pick from last season. So this is a guy who has time to come along, and you look at how the defensive line is, and you look at where some of those contracts are. This is a guy who I think is going to get opportunities for playing time. And again, I really think he has a very good shot to lead this team in sacks when it is all said and done this year, because what you have seen is incredible development from him. And he was, by the way, even according to Pro Football Focus's stats last year, the most efficient pass rusher on the Cleveland Browns. He was the most efficient pass rusher that this team had on the field. So this is a guy who, that's what he's built to do.
Right.
He's done. He's getting better at that aspect of it, and he's getting better against the run. And it's interesting. You talked about his build. He has, I think, for his size still, he's got very long legs and kind of a shorter torso. But now he's realized that if you think about when he gets low like that, he's got a lot of drive behind his legs. He has a lot of leverage when he can get his pad level low. And I talked about how Armani Bryant led the Browns last year in pass rushing productivity. Well, among all three, four defensive ends as a rookie, he was the fifth most efficient pass rusher in the entire National Football League. 12.8 was his PRP, pass rush productivity measure, that Pro Football Focus has used, really only behind a couple of guys who are big-time players like a Cameron Jordan down in New Orleans. So he had a very good season last year, and I think he's going to get more opportunities to show that this season.
All right, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns next. Mike Pettine had his press conference following today's practice. We're going to play that for you in its entirety. In the meantime, we want to interact. You can call us at 216-578-0850 after we play the press conference. We want to get into some of your calls. We have more of your tweets to get into because, again, it is a hashtag mailbag Wednesday. So get aboard with us. We've got a lot of tweets that we will get through. And Dow Loggins, the quarterback's coach from the Browns, going to hear some sound from him as well. This is a busy Football Wednesday edition of CBD. He's Nathan. I'm Vic. And you're listening to
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Trying to tee you up with a nice little ESPN 850 WQAM.